I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
You know those people on the internet machine who are all like, look at me, I'm winning at life because I just had a photogenic bagel and I spent Sunday rearranging all my scented candles in alphabetical order. I know we're all supposed to be like, yes, queen, you is winning at being an adult, etc. I just don't know how I'm supposed to get excited about putting a wash on. You know, like, I think being an adult is completely boring, largely because no one is ever willing to give you a certificate or a sticker. Imagine if after doing your tax return or setting up a direct debit, someone gave you a lollipop. Imagine how happy you'd be.
Tone after the tone, after the tone, leave your message after the tone.
Yes, I'm back. Episode 2, Season 6. What of it? Actually, what of it? Thank you. Now, listen, I spent the weekend in a place called York. It's in the north of England for international listeners or those of you listening to this in London, because I know you're so fucking ignorant you haven't got an idea about the geography of the country. Anyway, it's about as far as the Romans got before they got quite lazy and realised it was very wet and there was better pizza in Italy. Anyway, it's got Roman walls around it, which you can walk around. One side, quite old-fashioned. The other side, sheer drop. Absolute fucking sheer drop. Not a fucking bit of health and safety in those days. Anyway, I'm just about to come down the staircase on said historic wall, and I see a family kind of walking up. Middle-class family, I'll have you find. Me being a nice person, I stand to the side, petering off a sheer drop. Petering. They get to the top, I'm there, I'm poised with a smiley face, waiting for them to say, thank you very much, thank you so much for poising yourself on the wall. Did they fuck? They just all looked at me like I was about to fucking invade York with a Celtic clan, and they just walked past. And I haven't been able to let go of it. How fucking dare they? The goodness of my own heart to fucking wait on the top of a staircase for these posh... Anyway... Last week was lovely, wasn't it? Yeah, we've broken the seal. We've essentially popped our legs on either side of the podcast speculum and we are now waiting to be observed. If you've just tuned in and you're like, what the hell have I just walked in on. Who the fuck are you? And how the fuck does this work? Well, let me tell you. You could do me a favour and just listen to one of the other 60-odd episodes in which I explain it, because it's not that fucking hard to work out, to be fair. If over the course of the next 40 minutes you hear something that stirs your Julie Walters, that makes you feel like, I want to join in, well, the number to dial will be coming up shortly, so fucking hold your horses, please. Don't panic. Don't have to DM me, send me a fucking tweet. How do I call in the show? Just listen to the show and it will tell you what to do, please, Dale. Lovely. Anyway, Debbie. Oh, God, she's fucking back, isn't she? Debbie. Stop that, Debbie. Debbie. How many times have I told you, you cannot use the cheese grater on your fucking hard skin? Especially when I'm trying to fucking record this thing for the ladies and gentlemen and the peoples at homes, okay? Debbie, put it down. Debbie, you have to stop using kitchen utensils on your feet, okay? That is the last time. Look at me. This is your last verbal warning before I take it to HR, okay? Debbie, behave. Press play. Thank you.
Hiya, Scotty, love. It's that JRF here. Hello, how are you? Hiya, Tim. Hiya, Kat. Hiya, Maya. And how are you doing, producer Debbie? Lots of news. Beginning of January, I got an official diagnosis that I'm autistic. Thank Christ. I got awarded a gardening with disabilities grant. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get myself a little shed and some tools. It's very exciting. Very excited about getting a shed. It's like a Wendy house for tools. Other news, quite by chance, I was nodding off one night and I thought, do you know what? I'll Google my granny's house, just, you know, just for shits and gigs. It turns out it was sold in May 2018. I was like, oh gosh, all right, yeah. And there was the spec online and it was all ripped clean. And I thought, that must mean my granddad's dead, my paternal granddad. No, my maternal granddad, sorry. And sure enough, he died in 2017, and not one single cunt in my family, granted, I'm estranged to them, decided to tell me. Lol. So they've been processing that. And another very sad thing was that my one-legged trans elder neighbour, Kelly, passed on the 7th of January, very suddenly. And it's been really... Sorry, the cuckoo's going off in the background. It's 10 o'clock. Are you done? Come on, wrap it up. I want to talk about Kelly. Sorry, lads. So, yeah, Kelly's gone. And it's really weird because I've lived on this stair since 2014. And I've seen Kelly probably every day I've lived here. And also, she was a very openly queer trans woman. You know, she was quite happy to tell people she was gay. She was quite happy to tell people she was trans. And it's a very strange thing, because I know that for a long time, the majority of her family didn't speak to her. And it's very odd, because I reached out to the family, and also the family came to collect her possessions and things. I don't know, it's very sad, because a lot of people in this area have been very affected by her passing, and the street feels very quiet without her in it. And because I've been out in my garden doing gardening, everyone comes to now talk to me, and that's fine, but I can't give them any answers, because the family haven't given me any answers. And I mean, the family can grieve in whatever way they please, of course, but the neighbours have been left wondering what happened. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of Marys are in this area, but they're not visible, let's say, like myself and Kelly. And I feel I've lost my little visible queer community here. But anyway, this message is going on for 5 odd minutes. So yeah, grants, diagnoses and death. Lots of love and light to you all, and a big kiss from that JRF.
Oh, Nana's back. Doesn't that warm your cockles, though, to be fair, everybody? I mean, before we get on to what she was on about, doesn't it warm your cockles to know that she's back and she's doing as best as she can? Oh, Nana Jareth, thank you so much for joining the party again. And with the trademark cuckoo clock. Lovely. So endearing, isn't it? That was like popping to your nan's house for a quick brew, wasn't it? I want to pick up on diagnoses, all of them. Because, I mean, God forbid we only had one each, babe. Do you know what I mean? We've got about 12 between us. Should be like Pogs. Do you remember Pogs when you were a kid that you used to collect? Pogs were like those little discs and all coveted. You could get really glam ones as well, couldn't you? Anyway, I feel, like I said in the lead-in there, wouldn't it be lovely if we got a certificate with a diagnosis? When I first got a diagnosis, I thought, sorry, is that it? So you're just going to say, you are this. Where's the fanfare? Where is the patch that I can sew onto my bikini? Absolutely nothing, is there? It's quite the anticlimax, the diagnosis, because you're like, okay, cool. So things now make sense. Give me something to prove it so I can show off. Nothing. Paul Kelly, RIP. And how lovely for you to come in here and share that at a difficult time for you and yours. Families are complex, aren't they? When I was thinking about your story, about your relationship with your family, thinking about my own relationship with my family, which is now good, great, better than it has been, well, to my immediate family. I've got family I just don't talk to as well. And I think my mum always tries for us to talk, but you can't make a relationship, can you? Some people you just don't particularly like. And there's a lot of people in my family that I'm like, I don't know if I need to like you. And I think that's always something we always need to bear in mind. This idea, we're supposed to be so enthralled with our own family. No, they can actually do more damage than it's worth. So that was the overarching thing I took away from that. The story about Kelly really just reminds me about our queer elders. And the disappearance of queer elders. Because quite often, well, I'm saying this from my own perspective, actually, and I don't know whether this is universally true, but quite often we have an experience where you might meet somebody or somebody might be a regular in a sort of queer space, usually a pub or something like that, and then they just suddenly disappear. And we never really have had the relationships with them in which you're like, pop around for tea, or, you know, they're just that person that you see at the end of the bar. They might just be familiar by sight, but you always say hello. And then that disappearance. I think back at the Marys that I used to know when I was working behind the pub at the Black Cap. I used to pull pints in an iconic drag bar in North London. And there are people who used to talk Polari at the end of the bar. I used to be so enthralled by them. And you just don't know what happens to them. So I'm glad you've had Kelly in your life. I think that's the one thing we always have to remember, is that in death there is loss, but we also should retain what they gave us in life. There we go. It's lovely to have you back in the room, babe.
Hi, Scotty. It's Holly calling from North Carolina. I'm calling you from the parking lot of my local library, where I'm about to go in and pick up two books, one on burnout and one on repairing my microbiome. And if that's not a cry for help, I really don't know what is. I've been feeling so tired and so burnt out with my job lately. I'm a PhD student, and it's almost about time for me to graduate and start applying for jobs. And it's the imposter syndrome and the doubt. It's all creeping in on me. So I feel like I need to work very hard to be the best that I can be when it comes time for me to send out all these job applications. And it's just, ugh. Anyways, I'm so happy that you're back. You know, another little daily dose of, or weekly. I wish you came out daily. Yeah, so thankful that you're back and so thankful to hear from everybody in the pub. Thanks so much for all you do. Okay, bye.
Holly from North Carolina, you're back. Isn't that lovely? Gorgeous. Oh, we're having some familiar faces walk into the pub today. Now, I'm going to have to Google something, because when you said you were going to a library, I thought, how modern and also how old-fashioned. A library, do you remember such things? People who are listening in England, do you remember what libraries were before they were all shut down by the Tories? Essentially, what the Tories are doing in this country is very Henry VIII with the monasteries, isn't it? They just prefer to shut down libraries, hospitals and essential services, where Henry VIII just didn't like religion. I mean, there you go. When you said I'm repairing my microbiome, I thought, I ain't got a clue, so I'm going to have to Google it. Here we go. A microbiome, I think you said that. I don't know. Microbiome. The importance of your microbiome. The human microbiome is the aggregate of the micro... Something in your body? It's a collection, a community of microorganisms such as bacteria. Excuse me. Oh, there you go. There's a bit of bacteria for you. Fungi, mushrooms, and viruses. I am none the wiser about what you're trying to repair and why you're trying to do it in a library. But if it's something to do with your body, I mean, I know you're saying you're getting a PhD and stuff, but I would say here, as somebody who has used a library, I'm not sure they're going to be able to improve your mushrooms in a public library. But I mean, you know better than me because you got the letters PhD after your name. Well, you might do. What does PhD stand for? Doctor? Professor? Human doctor? Oh, I don't know. Listen, when it comes to all of these things about the pressures that we're putting on ourselves, Holly, I'm just going to tell you as it is. You be yourself. You tell them you like dog walks, you like walking on the beach, and don't tell them the bit about when you like call me from your car, because I don't think that's something that you should lead with. Anyway, Holly, please let us know what a microbiome is and tell us more about how you repair it. Many thanks.
Hello, Scotty, Tim, Maya and Kat. It's a spooky scouser here. How are you? Happy New Year. I just enjoy the chat about non-monogamy because I'm not a non-monogamous person. I'm very much a monogamous person. And I feel like I have very much misunderstood non-monogamy until this point. So thanks for educating me. Oh, by the way, I'm not against non-monogamy. It's just it doesn't fit for me. I just wanted to make that clear. I do actually have a couple of questions I forgot to mention. One, do you like scouse? That's like a basically a gravy-based meal. But it's like a stew. Just wondered. And what about pie? So, like the gravy inside the pie. I know extra gravy would be a bit too much for you. But the gravy inside the pie surely has to be there. And when you have a pie, do you have chips with it? Because then the gravy's going to get on your chips when you cut the pie open.
Spooky Scouser, hello. Thank you so much for your pertinent questions. Now, item number one on your agenda, non-monogamy. I'm glad it's done some things for you. I mean, it hasn't, but, you know, I'm going to say it has because, you know, you haven't got the right to respond and I am audacious. Now, this is the thing, whenever we talk about non-monogamy, the thing I always like to remind people, it's like when we talk about homosexuality, just because we can be advocates for it, it don't mean we're trying to brainwash everybody. I'm really okay with some people being bland. But no, in all honesty, like, it's just another way. And I think that's what we always need to remember when we're talking about these things, all these experiences, all these ways of being that feel new to us. I totally hear your statement is coming from a place where you want to make it very clear you're not being judgmental. But it's, yeah, it is just another way. You know, to be monogamous isn't to be better at doing relationships. To be non-monogamous isn't better at being in relationships. It just is another way that makes sense to people. And I think non-monogamy has been around for ages. You know, I think we all think this like this new, like, oh my god, how rebellious. No, girl, it's been around for a while, sweetheart, you know what I mean? Anyway, I was telling very camp there. Disgusting behaviour. Now, on to Gravygate. I knew this was going to open a whole fucking series of questions. I'd like to think there were other people out there that weren't that fond of gravy. It's not just me. Please come forward if that is you. With scouse, yes. Now, people might not know what scouse is. We often call people who are from Liverpool scousers. And they're called this because of a dish which I think is Norsk. It's sort of an amalgamation of like Norsk unt Irish. It's a bit like an Irish stew, but if you say that to a scouser, they get very touchy about it. Do I like scouse? Yes, but I think the gravy needs to be thick to hold it together with a pie. This is the same thing. Your observations are correct. The wetness with inside the pie suffices. Do I have chips with that? Of course I don't. I come from London. It's mash. You have pie and mash. It's not pie and chips. I know Northerners are absolutely fucking obsessed with chips, that they'll have it with fucking everything. But do you know what? Treat yourself. Have it with fucking mash. See how your life improves.
Hello, Scotty. This is Maggie calling from sunny Barcelona. I just woke up this morning and was thinking about my brother, because yesterday he sent a photo of himself with his brand new car, looking quite proud. Doesn't sound like such a big deal, really, especially because we're both in our 50s, but it actually made me feel so proud of him. He's a recovering addict, and he contracted this disease, because it really is a disease. He contracted this disease in his early 20s, and from then on it was just a complete spiral of addictions, heroin, crack, alcohol, the lot. His girlfriend died tragically, and then he took that on somehow as his fault and spent, you know, years, terrible years punishing himself. And it was a huge problem for all of us, not just him, for, you know, the family, everyone. It was awful. Anyway, yesterday he sent me this lovely photo, and it's testament to how you can turn your life around with a lot of determination and lots of love and support, both professional, thanks to AA and the 12-step program. They were brilliant. And his family and friends, you know, we've all stopped by him, and I'm so proud of him. Anyway, he's got a great job, lovely flat, and now he's got this, you know, this flash new car, which makes me laugh. I'm standing here looking at my old banger of a Citroen Berlingo, looks like an old farmyard vehicle. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, as we just so often hear the sad stories, don't we? And very seldom hear the ones with happy endings. So I just thought I'd share that with you. Glad to hear you back, Scotty. Cheers. Bye.
Oh, Maggie, it's been a while since you called in from España. Buenos dias. How are you? ¿Cómo te amo? Is that right? Have I said it right? No, I just asked you what your name was. It's far too in the morning for me to be barely speaking English, let alone trying to work out what I'm saying Espanol. Okay, absolutely solidarity with the addiction here. Oh, first off, are you still doing the fishes? I'm sure that's you. Listeners, cast your mind back. I think Maggie called us maybe season 2, season 3, talking about fishes. I think you work with fishes. Maybe I've made this all up. Maybe I'm completely misgendering you with the fishes here. Anyway, I hope the fishes, wherever you are in Barcelona, are doing well. Solidarity with the absolutely addiction chat here. As many long-time listeners will know, I've had many a brush with an addiction, and continue to have a dialogue with addiction, because that's the thing. I don't think it is curable. And I think this is universal, actually. I think you constantly live with the relationship with whatever it is. Because as we know, addiction can be a very broad church in terms of what it is you are addicted to, what it is that you are self-medicating with. AA didn't work for me. The rooms didn't work for me, OA, etc., OANA, AA, because the religious stuff I find very difficult as a recovering Catholic, as somebody who's like got so much shame entwined in faith, to constantly be told to look to your higher power, I found difficult. But I know that it is being the saving grace for a lot of my pals to be able to hand over the responsibility of addiction to something else. So yeah, I think it is an amazing tool. If it works for you, it works for you, doesn't it? I found counselling to be super helpful, and therapy, and I'm not gonna lie, medication. Do you know what? I think we have this relationship with meds where people are like, well, you know, you're only supposed to use them for a little time, you get off medication. No, fucking use them for as long as you fucking need, because they're there to give you the headspace to do that work. So I'm really glad to hear. And look, Posh Motor as well. So, Maggie, you got to up the motor game, babe. Anyway, I hope that's you with the fishes. I hope I've remembered you right. Something to do with farming or something. Maybe that's not fishes at all. How do you farm a fish? Well, we're opening up a whole bunch of questions there. If you know how to farm a fish, get in touch. Coming up, we have the return of Lovebirds Sol and Mar, and a new caller shares their plant pot of shame. Oh, God forbid. But before that, we often talk about this gaff being a pub. So why don't you buy us a pint or three? Come and join us over on the Patreon, where you can give us, you know, £5 or more a month to keep this place going. And perhaps you could keep this place going for someone who uses it on the daily. I got a message this week from someone who says that they listen to the podcast every night when they go to bed for company, which I thought was very endearing. So, you know, you can help keep this place going for people that use this in more ways than one. Patreon.com/afterthetone. Now, serious mummy voice now. Serious mummy voice. I know it's the start of a new season. I know you all love to listen. But if you don't join in, if you don't call, there's no fucking show. So get your phones out, please, and tell me how you are. What you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, who you've been feeling. Or else I will shut up this shop and everyone's fun will be over, okay? And it will be 100% your fault. Okay, Kathy? Or John or Paul? Any of those three names that are listening, it'll be your fault. So open up the WhatsApp, send me a voice note to this number. 07 88 200 3420. Right, let's get back to the show.
Hiya, Scotty.
Hiya.
Happy LGBTQ plus history month.
February.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Tash.
And we are from the Logbooks podcast,
which is all about telling untold stories from Britain's LGBTQ plus history, based on the calls to the helpline switchboard, which started back in 1974.
So we wanted to ring you to tell you about some of our favourite stories from the podcast after all three seasons, because we've finished making our third and final season now. And I think my favourite story is the one from the early days of internet dating, when someone called Harry met someone online and then they hooked up in an Asda toilet down the road.
And don't forget the double-ended dildo. Adam.
Of course, how could I? So that's a great story too. Yeah, happy LGBT History Month.
Yeah, anyway, bye.
Bye.
Oh, lovely little mention there from a sibling podcast, The Logbooks. Hello, Adam and Tash. Lovely to hear from you. Thank you very much. Now, if you don't know what The Logbooks is, what are you doing with your life? Stop everything now. Well, actually, stop everything after this podcast. You've got to listen to this one first, okay? And also, if you just stopped it right there, you wouldn't know what I was about to say. So don't stop it there. Okay, I think we've covered that. Now, The Logbooks is a really beautiful, very heartwarming, also quite funny. Quite funny. Not as funny as me, actually. Okay, it's not a competition. It's a community. Okay, Scotty, calm down. Podcast, as they say, looking at the logbooks at the switchboard. Now, back in the day, I used to know the switchboard when I was a kid as the lesbian gay switchboard, which used to be up the road from me where I grew up. And of course, with the changing times and more inclusive language, it's now called switchboard. And this is just such a lovely little delicate, kind, caring, really revealing moment of queer history. And of course, it is queer. Well, I like to call, they call it LGBTQ plus history month. I like to call it Queer History Month because, well, I just do. Full disclaimer, I've got nothing against saying all of the letters that are a part of our culmination of communities, of gendered, non-gendered, sexual and non-sexual identities coming together. But I just, I don't, there's something unibrella? I meant to say umbrella. There's something like the umbrella warmth of saying queer that always makes me feel like I'm being more generous, actually. Anyway, by the by, The Logbooks, you can listen to it anywhere that you get your podcasts. And wasn't that lovely to have Adam and Tash drop in?
Hi, Scotty. Hi to all the gang. Hi to everyone in the room. It's Fran here. Just thought I'd send a little voice note as I'm waiting for the train. Yeah, I know. How weird. I have an actual boyfriend. I also realised how ridiculous I sounded. But it's just very alien. And I keep, I don't know if anyone else has this, but I keep sort of waiting for it to go wrong, or waiting for him to turn out to be an absolute cunt. I do deserve good things, I know I do, but also not wanting to self-sabotage. Like, I've been battling that a little bit, of being like, I can see my old habits of like me not effectively communicating why I'm upset. And not necessarily with him, but just in general, just being very like, not wanting to come across as needy or not wanting to come across as unstable. I'm like, come on, he knows. He knows I'm a mental. But, and actually him apologising when he's not even been out of line, but just been a bit arsey or whatever. It's so alien. And yeah, the bar is very low, like scarily low. But I'm working hard at not turning that in on myself and making that the new thing to use to beat myself up with, if that makes sense. Like it's a, yeah, it's a lot. I'm going to keep it vague at the Mediterranean because there's a little bit of gossip, but I can't tell you about it yet. Yeah, the other thing I thought I'd bring to the room and share with everyone is really miserable at my job, and my boss got fired because I also knew him outside of work. He revealed my personal private history and past issues with drink and drugs and claimed that I was about to have a breakdown and that they'd seen this behaviour before, even though he's my best friend's boyfriend and he hasn't seen this behaviour before. But anyway, long story. But I stood up for myself. I think this is what I'm trying to say to you guys. Genuinely, it felt like my entire life's worth of therapy paid off for this moment. I was like in control and yet so angry, but articulated it perfectly. Was still Fran, but wasn't sort of reactionary, explosive, lashing out Fran. Was just very much like, this is what you've done. This is how it's made me feel. And this is what's happening going forward. And it was just the most intense feeling. And I think I'm still like exhausted from it. But I can actually say I was really proud of myself for the first time in what, nearly 29 years. I like effectively communicated when I was that angry. All of that, and he's the one that lost his job because it basically came down to me or him, and the owner chose me. Now, in that being said, I'm working my ass off, I'm doing too many hours, and I'm not doing enough self-care, and I don't think I actually want the job now. I guess what I'm asking the room is, has anyone else had a thing where just because you're capable of doing something and just because you're doing it doesn't mean that you need to carry on doing it? Like, I don't need to prove anything to anyone. I'm very tired. I'm quite overwhelmed. Anyone else just need a good cry, but don't even really have the time?
Oh, lovely, Fran. Wow, so much for us to respond to there. But the first thing I want to do... boundaries. Absolute round of applause for the boundaries that you have enacted there. Vague Mediterranean boyfriend is the boyfriend's name. Excellent. I want to focus in first on the relationship and the things that you said around that, around your expectation of yourself, your fears of what the boyfriend might feel or do or say. And it really reminds me of something that I say quite a lot to current partner, boyfriend, who... I often remind that we will disappoint each other. You know, when you have those moments where you like, you might disappoint each other, you make each other hurt, or you might be sad, or, you know, you might want to talk about something. I'm like, this is good. It is okay that we disappoint each other. It is okay that we don't always live up to each other's expectations. It's okay to have these conversations to be like, this thing, this situation, this didn't make me feel great. This isn't the thing that I want. This has made me feel this way. Because the proof in the pudding is how you have the conversation. So I just really want to like, if I was sat opposite you and I was kind of giving you very informal from my own personal experience advice, not saying this is how to live your life around here, but I would say it's okay. It's all right. Because I think the pressure of you worrying about that you're going to fuck up or that something's going to go wrong is going to inhibit you and therefore your relationship. And so, you know, like, just be present, enjoy it, enjoy being there, enjoy the enjoyness. Do you know what I mean? I think so much when we're nutters, we can get so caught up in worrying about how we are seen, perceived, and what our actions are doing, because we're so used to being so critical of ourselves. That's something that I'm always trying to remind myself to do, is just be present and, you know, just try to be a nice person and try to be decent and try to be an open communicator. Because I think once you're trying to do all of those things, you're just trying your best. And that's the best that anyone can hope for, is that you're trying your best. Absolute boundaries there with your ex-boss. And I'm really glad that you've been able to identify that and advocate for yourself. As we know, I've spoken about that a lot. Advocating for yourself can be a fucking nightmare, can't it? Just, you know, like, I think it's easier, personally, to go through life with people pissing you off and taking the piss than it is sometimes to say, please don't do that. I think my therapist once said boundaries, like enacting proper boundaries, is about when you say how you think, you feel, what you need, and what actions that you need to sort of stop without any fear about what those you're telling think, feel, or what happens to them. And that's what you've done here. You've advocated for yourself, even in light of, oh my God, how difficult is it to think that this is your best friend's... Pardon me. Your best friend's partner. That's a lot. So, I mean, 10 points, actually. But you've given the room some questions. Does anyone feel like they need to cry? But also about capability there. Just because you're capable, does it mean you have to? If you want to join in on this conversation with Fran here, you know what to do. Pick up the blower and send us a little voice note on the WhatsApp. Nice to hear from you, Fran.
Hello, Scotty.
Hi, Scotty. This is
Mar
and Sol. It's been a while since we
were in Mexico.
Yeah, we're in Isla Mujeres and
a honeymoon situation.
And now we're no longer in a honeymoon situation. We're in a married situation.
How did that happen?
And from Isla Mujeres, we went back to
Chile
and then we moved with dogs and child. And here we are, married and...
In the mountains of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Y'all. And yeah, we are living in with the bears and the deers and the foxes. And and a lot of crows. No, not crows.
Are you talking about the neighbors?
Oh. Yeah, the neighbors that want our dogs to shit in plastic bags because it's tidier. What do you think? I mean, that's why we're actually want to talk about
that's
this.
That's the main subject.
Yeah, that's our main subject. Should our dogs have plastic bags incorporated?
You know, because suburbia requires that.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a really nice place. The problem isn't the place. Sometimes it's the people. I don't know. Anyway, apart from that, North Carolina is amazing. It's got...
We love it here.
Yeah, it's got really nice people. It's a little bubble within a bubble, really, isn't it?
That's why we like it.
All the queer people live in Asheville, and that's where we live. And all the others that I don't want to name live outside of Asheville.
In their own bubble.
In their own
Let's
bubble.
Let's not burst their bubble.
We definitely do not want to burst their bubble.
No poking.
So we don't poke much around there, but we stay around here. And
what about you?
Yeah, we would love to know what you're up to. And no, we just wanted to say hi, actually.
And hi to all the beautiful people. And are listening to this.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Ciao.
I love this podcast so much because I just do. Oh my God, the best. This is just the best. Hello, Mar and Sol. It's been a while, but do you know what? I love the fact. You know what I'm like for a call from a far-flung place. I really remember that call where you called in from Mexico, as you were saying, and you could just hear how intensely in love you were and how beautiful it is to see and hear how intensely in love you still are. It gives us a lot of hope and a lot of joy, particularly a lot of queer love and a lot of queer joy. So thank you so much. Congratulations on your marriage. Congratulations on your relocation and your life that you seem to be like acing. You seem to be having such a lovely time. Although, bears, what the fuck are you doing in a place with bears? Get the fuck out. Let me just tell you, all of this wildlife shit, no, thank you. No. Bears. We're not talking gay bears here. I know we're not talking fat hairy Marys. We are talking, you know, Winnie the Pooh, but less nice. We're talking big fucking hairy monsters that want to come and have a look around your kitchen and eat your chicken. I've just assumed that your meat is probably not because you sound interesting. Anyway, I love the read. The absolute read is like, this is where all the queer people live and this is where other people live. wonder if you know my friend Holly from North Carolina. Now I know that's a very UK-based thing to say, because I know North Carolina is a big place, but North Carolina seems to be where it's at. Holly's fixing Holly's microbiome somewhere within the state. I was going to call it a county. God, how English would that be? The county of North Carolina. Somewhere in Asheville, I think you said, you know, doing what you do in Asheville. Now, to answer your question about dogs, if your neighbours have got problems with your dogs pooing and they want plastic bags to be attached to their arseholes, I think you can give them all authority from me to say they too should also have, if they want dogs to live by this rule, then your neighbours have got to live by it too. They have got to have plastic bags attached to their own arseholes. And by arsehole, I mean mouth, because they're talking shit. It's a dog. I tell you what to do, just out of spite, what I would do is let my dog shit all over their fucking garden. Do you know what? Let them shit. Actually, I don't know if you should do that in America. People have got guns, ain't they? The one thing about America, you're like, oh yeah, people have got guns. Okay, maybe don't, but do you know what? They're just dogs. They're just dogs being fucking dogs, aren't they? So you enjoy your dogs being dogs. I tell you what, you have got other things to be thinking about right now, which is each other. And it is so, I tell you what, my takeaway from this call is just the absolute joy in hearing a queer relationship thrive and survive. Because I think so much of dominant discourse, I think the children call it, in the community is around dysfunctional relationships and the stuff. And that isn't to take away from that and say that that isn't valid. But it is, it's lovely to have a moment of joy. So I'm sitting here absolutely beaming, listening to you lot. Mar and Sol, thanks for beaming in. Don't leave it as long next time, please. In a bit.
So on Wednesday, I decided to go for a fabulous lunch at a gorgeous Vietnamese place, which I often frequent. And it was beautiful. I ordered my usual, had a great time. And then I just went back to work, went about my day, came home, made dinner. I made pasta with garlic bread and salad. It was beautiful. Then I had a yogurt. And about 5 minutes after my yogurt, start to feel a bit of rumbling in my tummy, start to feel a bit bubbly, to be honest. And I get that feeling of, okay, I'll need a shit soon. But it's nothing worrying at this point. And then I get up to go to the toilet, but I hear my housemate, Liam, shaving his hair, and he's singing along to the latest Kim Petra song, my coconuts, you can put them in your mouth. So I think, okay, all right, it won't be long, and it's not that desperate. So we'll go sit back down, still a bit bubbly. And I just fancied a second yoghurt, so I had the second yoghurt. I've got Tinder Swindler on. Have you seen Tinder Swindler? Shocking. By the end of the second yoghurt, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is getting to be a bit urgent now. So I finished the yogurt, go and see if the bathroom's empty. Liam's now in the shower. Now Liam takes long showers, quite a tall lady, 6'7" he is. So I'm a little bit worried at this point, but I think ultimately, oh, I can wait 20 minutes, I can do that. And so I go sit back down, hoping for the best. And it's not going well. And I realised that I might have to come up with a plan B here. Out the corner of my eye, I see a little plant pot. I realised that that's probably my best bet. So just as a precautionary measure, I take the plant out the plant pot and I go into my bedroom. At this point, I'm breathing deeply. And I'm telling myself I can make it. I can wait 10 more minutes. It becomes apparent that I'm not going to make it. And I have to make a choice. I shit in this plant pot. Or I shit myself in my own home. I chose the first option. And out it came. Like a bubbling lava flow from hell. The smell was bad. It was horrendous. I did my dirty deed. I wiped my arse on a napkin that was in my room and stood there in shame. Put the plant pot on the window and I tried to cover it up with the lid of a scented candle. So yeah, then I go sit back down, filled with shame, put the Tinder swindler back on. Anyway, that's my tale of my poo shame in my own home.
You lot are not the full ticket, are you? I would like to start this off by saying this is nothing to do with the cuisine of Vietnam. Okay, I'm just putting that out there because, okay, just as I think the poo stories, as hideous as they are often the moments I love the most in this gaff. I've got so many questions. Does this plant pot have a hole in the bottom? You know, there is drainage in plant pots. Is it still there? How did you get rid of... So many questions. Was it a branded napkin? Too many questions. Excellent story. 10 out of 10. Thank you so much for sharing that. It sort of reminded me of when I first went to Glastonbury and, you know, it's very much in the throes of addiction, shall we say. Let's not glamorise the experience. But I was having a good time, but very addicted. And I got so scared of leaving my tent because I thought somebody was talking to me that I had a shit in... Just shit in a plastic bag. And it brought me back to memories of that. So look, you share and I share. The Tinder swindler. Oh my God, I watched that last night. Oh, I was so angry and livid. But if you've watched it, the last one, you know, no spoilers here, but who irons his clothes, that one, I was like, you are the person I want to be in my life. Those are the boundaries that I would like to have in my life. So, yeah, if you've got any thoughts around telly, I am absolutely loving telly at the moment. Anyway, by the by, thank you. Thank you so much, caller, for your wonderful, elaborate poo story there. 10 out of 10. This is going to go in the file with the call from last season of the shower. The shower... The plant pot, maybe you want to add to the collection. You know what to do. Oh, we've had a lovely time today. We've been here, there and everywhere, haven't we? We've been to North Carolina and to North Carolina. It's lovely having some of the regulars back and some new voices, some updates from people. Gorgeous. I hope that has stirred you to pick up the phone and give us a call. First off, little announcement on the notice board. Are you our internet friend? Sorry, do you think you're too cool to follow us on the internet? Do you think that we're just like a bunch of weird geeks that you should be? You should definitely be following us. We are on the Instagram, on the Twitter. Make sure you're our friend, because otherwise, what are you doing with your life? Also, while we're at it, don't be a lazy tit. Join in the chat. Come on. I believe in you. Listen, I'm not horrible. We have a lovely little chat. You don't have to say anything that interesting. Look at today's show. All you gotta do is open up WhatsApp and send us a little voice note to this number. 0788 200 3420. Come on, join in. Let's have a gossip. It'd be lovely to hear from you, particularly people we haven't heard from before, people in different places. You know me. I'm very pleased to be here, evidently. So that's your lot. That's what you came for. Listen, I tell you what, if anyone's horrible to you this week for no reason, you can tell them from us that if they carry on being a horrible person to you, we will go round there and we'll shit in their plant pots. because that's what we do around here. Listen, keep on laughing, crying, oversharing and joining in, because I'll tell you what, my soul today feels very warmed for having a chat with all of you bitches. So until next week, see you on the other side in a bit.
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
After the Tone is hosted by me, Scotty, produced by Debbie Kilbride, vice producer Tim Bano, assistant producer Maya Miller-Lewis, digital producer Kat Prill. After the Tone is a Debbie's production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.